Once in a while, in the 10 millionth ratio, they'll crop out. And you've got a natural parapsychic. I believe Adam had skills and abilities. I'm going to just... That dirty rat blew it for all of us. But I believe there are demon forces. This guy at the gathering can break chains beyond natural strength. And I believe they just keep living from life to life. And if they're in you, if they can talk through you, they can also affect your mind, give you memory of past ages that they were in. See, in this book, we're going to encounter somebody that was in a past life in great detail with no knowledge of history, can tell you things. Terrible music student until she played something related to that time. Could tell you things about the days of Nero that she had never studied. And Case's viewpoint is, he calls them entities. The entity was in a past life one of Nero's girlfriends. I've been around a long time, folks. Just, I usually come out, don't I? Am I boring you?
No.
Yeah, somebody said. A group of physicians from Hopkinsville and Bowling Green, Kentucky, took advantage of his unique talent to diagnose their own patients. They soon discovered that Case only needed to be given the name and address of the patient and then was able to tune in telepathically on that individual's mind and body wherever he was as easily as if they were both in the same room. He needed and was given no other information regarding any patient. Just name and address. One of the young MDs, Dr. Wesley Ketchum, submitted a report on this unorthodox procedure to a clinical research society in Boston. On the 9th of October, 1910, the New York Times carried two pages of headlines and pictures. From that day on, invalids from all over the country sought help from the, quote, Wonder Man. When Edgar Case died on January 3rd, 1945, in Virginia Beach, Virginia, he left well over 14,000 documented stenographic records of the telepathic clairvoyant statements he had given for more than 8,000 different people over a period of 43 years. That's a heap of dictated information. Do you know how this will blow the mind of some of the Baptists down across this country, Ken? Old Scott, he's going off the deep end. No, I'm still standing right on the deck. I'm right on the deck. Yeah, you fascinate me. I'm going to end up proving Bible. Well, I'm done. He said, won't you do something? I'm not reviewing tonight, am I? These typewritten documents are referred to as, quote, readings. These readings constitute one of the largest, most impressive records of psychic perception ever to emanate from a single individual. You know that he died in 1945, and he said, late 60s, early 70s, near Bimini in the Caribbean, there would be a rising of beneath the surface matters, and they would discover remnants of Atlantis, a city beneath the sea there. Well, my friend, it's happened. Whether it's Atlantis or not, they found them. I don't have to change my faith. The Bible's going to be solider when I'm done. Hey, the false prophet in the last day going to make, and I'm not saying Ed Case false prophet. He loved and taught Sunday school kids. Don't blame the poor guy for what came out of him when he was sleeping. You ever watch yourself sleep? You ever listen to what you say? Huh? No, I proved to myself I don't snore many times. I stay awake all night to see. I respect this guy. These readings constitute one of the largest, most impressive records of psychic perception ever to emanate from a single individual. Together with their relevant records, correspondence, and reports, they've been cross-indexed under thousands of subject headings and placed at the disposal of the psychologists, students, writers, and investigators who come in increasing numbers to examine them. Now, when I was a boy, this guy run around seeing through a glass eye. But when I wanted to examine the evidence, they threw me out. That only worked. Wouldn't work if non-faith was present. These people will let you go examine. An approximate breakdown of the readings according to subject matter indicate that about 60% are physical diagnosis. 20% are life readings of people. The remaining 20% may be grouped under the heading other. And the other category includes readings on business topics, mental and spiritual themes, dream interpretation, a variety of miscellaneous subjects. A foundation known as the Edgar Cayce Foundation, located at 67th and Atlantic Avenue, Virginia Beach, Virginia, was founded to preserve these readings. An open membership research society exists, organized in 1932. Continues to index and catalog the information, initiate investigation and experiments, promote conferences, seminars, and lectures dealing with the readings and related material. The life readings are the ones that mention incarnations in Atlantis. Now, where does Cayce come in on Atlantis? Because many of the troubled people who came to him that he gave readings on, his readings claim, not only did some of them have reincarnations through many historic times, a vast percentage of them that were troubled people had reincarnations, past lives in Atlantis. Now, just suppose some of those bodiless demons in life after life who lived on Atlantis as the descendants of that illicit union have continued to live in people, like that fellow going to the synagogue that said to Jesus, "Don't send me. Have you come to torment?" Jesus said, "Don't identify me." That guy looked like any other worshiper. Nobody else has noticed him. On Atlantis, they were the product of an illicit union, let's say, going about their business. Because you see, these are dual nature. The whole mission of Cayce is the whole thing he talks about. I'll tell you. Hold on a minute. The life readings describing past lives in Atlantis as if they were experiences in early England and early America. I mean, some of the people came to him. He in his sleep reading, he'd tell them, you know, you were the consort of Nero. You were in the battle when Joshua was fighting Amalek. And in great detail, you were living in Atlantis. And here it describes the everyday life and everything that's going on in Atlantis. And through a period of years and multitudinous subjects, a great percentage of whom had Atlantis existence, you're able to put together a vast history of time on Atlantis that takes it through three separate destruction periods. You say, do you believe that? Believe that happened? I believe Atlantis exists. I don't know whether this happened or not. I just know he had some of the strangest dreams. Now, he also was able to prophesy some future things. Now, he's had a pretty good record, a lot better than Gene Dixon. I mean, National Enquirer get rich off him today. The life readings describing past lives in Atlantis as if they were experiences in early England or early America cover a period of 20 years. Between 1924 and 1944, he had a host of patients come that had problems, and as he gave them readings for those 20 years, a great percentage of them had past lives that included time in Atlantis. Hey, this poor guy, he never got out of that. Past the seventh grade. He didn't know that much about Atlantis. Man, I'm accumulating one of the... There's one other guy who claims to have the greatest library on Atlantis in existence. I'm trying harder. I'm number two, but I'm trying harder. I'm going to have it. You bored? It's okay to be tired, but are you bored? They are the most fantastic. That's these... You know, nobody thinks... The evidence of reincarnation has not been too overwhelming when people is like... If you saw the movie Patton, he suddenly, turn over here. Remember that? Turn over here. And there's a dumb, you know... So the battlefield's the other direction, General. Turn here. And he drives. Old big-nosed San Francisco cop that was a general in that movie. What's his name? Alden. Bless his dear old heart. That tells poor old Patton that he was just a pain. Patton never even looks back. He was here. I was here. And he describes the battle. And old Big Nose or somebody says, General, you describe it like you were here. Well, I was. Then he quotes that poem. And war after war and battle after battle as he fought through them all. That isn't too strange. I mean, those who believe in reincarnation talk about it. That's rather normal. But here is a guy who pushed the past reincarnation life back to day-to-day life experiences in Atlantis. He didn't know anything about Atlantis. They're the most fantastic, the most bizarre, the most impossible information in the Edgar Case files. They're there to be read. They drive you nuts. Now, it would be easy to present a very tight evidential picture of Edgar Case's psychic ability and the helpfulness of his readings if we selected only those which are confirmed and completely validated. This would not be fair in a total overall evaluation of his life's work. My brother, the author, and I know that Edgar Case, this is written by his son, my brother, the author, and I know that Edgar Case did not read Plato's material on Atlantis or books on Atlantis. And that he, so far as we know, had absolutely no knowledge of this subject. If his unconscious fabricated this material or wove it together from existing legends and writings, we believe that it's the most amazing example of a telepathic clairvoyant scanning of existing legends and stories in print or of the minds of persons dealing with the Atlantis theory. As my brother and I have said from time to time, life would be simpler if Edgar Case had never mentioned Atlantis. So before others can point to these readings as unbelievable and impossible, here's the whole story. As the authors pointed out, there's a strange consistency within the hundreds of psychic readings given over a period of 20 years. They will take you back into pre-recorded history to lands of myth and legend and forward into a future of literally earth-shaking changes. Whether you're a science fiction fan, someone interested in the psychic, or simply one who enjoys a good story, you'll find in the following pages a totally new account of man on earth and a new concept of his relationship to God and his fellow man. I must warn you, though, if you persist in reading this book, you may never be able to return to your former views about these things. Can I skip over Atlantis for just a moment? Robert Dunbar's parents listened in amazement to their 9-year-old son. Robert's face glowed with excitement and enthusiasm as he began to recount at dinner the results of his first afternoon's experiment with his new chemistry set. He had already performed practically all of the experiments outlined in the manual. His conversation was full of technical terms and the newfound thrill of putting various chemicals together. 9 years old. He was especially excited as he described how with just a few more ingredients he would be able to make gunpowder and thus create his own firecrackers and other fireworks to celebrate New Year's Eve. The chemistry set had really been an experiment, for the parents were beginning to explore suggestions made in Edgar Case's life reading for Robert. This experiment was to lead the Dunbars into a new understanding of psychic perception and open for them the door into a whole new world of the theory of reincarnation and urges from previous lives. Robert had seemed merely a bright little boy until they began to see him through the eyes of this reading. Now many of his talents, tendencies, and abilities began to form a new portrait. Now, let me anticipate some places I'm going. I don't deal in fear. I'm going to tell you something. If these bodiless demons are running loose, there is no man on this earth any adequate match. That's why Paul said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You see, a lot of people think they can go through life and just do what they want with God. And I have taught prevenient grace says it's no accident when God gets your attention, God starts the initiative. But only one power can deliver man from the clutches of Satan, and he's the prince of the power of the air, and he's in charge down here. And that power is God's Spirit, and God will give His Spirit to people who have faith in Him, and only those. It's why all this self-righteous business doesn't impress me much. I hear a lot of self-righteous people inhabited by demons. You want to hear that again? Churches are full of people that keep all the rules and look very righteous, inhabited by demons. Because only those that act in faith toward God will have God put them in Christ and His Spirit in them. And that Spirit of God can deliver you. Nothing else. You never forget. I might deal with a lot of strange subjects, but all the subjects that I've dealt with and that I'm interested in, ultimately, to unravel them all, I was driven to God. I've made the trip. God is the answer. I just threw that in. William Dunbar remembered the day of his son Robert's life reading and the funny sensation he felt when Edgar Case, speaking from a sleep-like state, charged him and Elizabeth with a grave responsibility in rearing the child. The reading described Robert's past lives in Germany, India, Egypt, and the legendary country of Atlantis. In Germany, he was associated with an application of steam to move objects. In India, he developed a combination of chemicals that produced explosives which were used against enemy tribes. References were made to electrical and mechanical work done with mathematical precision in other incarnations. The warning words of the reading rang again in his ears. You can find these. They're all indexed. This was the reading over that boy. They're numbered and indexed, so you can find them, though the names are changed in this particular book, but you can go read the original. For we find the abilities of this entity. That's how Case in his sleep trance prophecy would always refer to this part that was passing from carnation to carnation. For we find the abilities of this entity especially beyond the ordinary. Hence the necessity of directing Robert in the proper channels that the world, the peoples, the nations may gain that advantage of the abilities of the entity. I always referred to that trance or reincarnating unit as the entity. For turned in wrong channels, his abilities may become warnings to many that though they gain the whole world and lose their own soul, what has been gained? This enthusiasm with the chemical set and the immediate attempt to make explosives was the first sign of the accuracy of Edgar Case's description. You see, he had done the reading before the kid's talents took shape. This enthusiasm with the chemical set and the immediate attempt to make explosives was the first sign of the accuracy of Edgar Case's description of Robert Dunbar, but by no means the last. At an early age, Robert developed an interest in cars and all mechanical apparatus. In high school, he became interested in electricity. Encouraged by his parents, he went on to earn a degree in electrical engineering. He became interested in his life reading himself and referred to it more than once during World War II when he made or had decisions to make. Electrical engineers were sought for all kinds of assignments during the war years. Some involved defense installations, others ways of dealing greater death and destruction to the enemy. Robert moved toward the former, toward radar work. when Rommel's troops were overrunning Africa and an invasion of South America seemed imminent. Robert was busily supervising the installation of a radar network in the West Indies to protect the Panama Canal and the Trinidad oil fields. At the war's end, there were again choices to be made, and these decisions were not always easy. You bored? In the fall of 1945, Robert wrote the following letter to his parents. This is follow-up on a life that had a reading. Dear Mom and Dad, today I had to make another choice. And I hope you will think I did the right thing. The colonel assembled all of us who are working here at the lab. You know, I now have enough points to go back to civilian life. But they are pushing hard to keep officers in the reserve. There is a chance to stay in the Army at my present rank with good chances of promotion. So the colonel says, and transfer to Wright-Patterson Field in Dayton, Ohio is a possibility. The work is secret. But I think it has something to do with missiles. Some of the captured German scientists will be there, and I am sure it won't be long before they tie that in with the atomic bomb. A country with such a weapon would be invincible. You know how I feel about the Army, but there's another possibility. They are offering good civil service jobs to those with military electronics experience. It would be similar work, but as a civilian. Now, this is much more appealing to me than the military deal, and the pay is almost twice that of my old civilian electric power company job. The catch is, the work is on destructive equipment, missiles and bombs. I read my reading over again, and it is funny how I was sent to the Caribbean near where Edgar Cayce said I once lived, and where records may someday be discovered of Atlantis. Cayce said there will be records discovered. This time I felt my work was constructive, not destructive. That is why today I decided against going into the missile program, either as an officer or civilian. I hate turning down the good pay, and a lot of my friends are going. They think I'm crazy to go back to an electric utility job, and maybe I am. But at least it seems to be more constructive work. I am sure there will be a big demand for electric service once all the priorities are off, and people start living like human beings again. I hope you both will think I made the right decision. Love, Robert. Since the war, things seem to have gone well for Robert. He hasn't gotten rich, but he has a beautiful wife, two fine children, his health, and a comfortable living. The author here says, I know Robert pretty well since he's active in the affairs that they share together. And once I asked him if he ever regretted not going on to higher pay and possible fame in another field, he smiled and said, I've thought of it sometimes, but you know, most of the things I want, I already have. I suppose few people today are happier than Robert Dunbar. Now, Cayce always advised them when they came to him with readings that if they had these reincarnations, there was always a warfare. There was a force working in them that worked for destruction, and a force working in them that could reach for constructive things. And they had to fight against the destructive. Well, Paul says to every Christian, of such were some of you. And what the Holy Spirit does when you act in faith on God's Word is God puts you in Christ, finished product, gives you that already, grace, unmerited favor, but puts His Spirit in you to help you start walking God's way, the faith way. Now, I don't believe everybody's got demons in them. I think that it's a very small minority of this world's population that has ever had an experience of reincarnation identity. I think it's almost a minute percentage. But there are people who have, and this book is full of illustrations as well as others, of people who could not have known. They weren't history students. They have this recollection. You then cross-file it, those that have searched it out, and they're accurate. Very small minority. Now, the Bible tells me reincarnation, I am convinced, is not the route of the soul of mankind. So, which life substance keeps leapfrogging through the centuries? And if what we just read in the New Testament is true, there are certain demons that do that. We know they've been around. Which one? Now, you can take my opinion or just say they're all that way, you know. You have demons just manifest themselves in any form, but occasionally they'd rather be in yours. How do you explain demon possession? I believe it. Have to, or I don't believe the Gospels. Now, contrast this Robert Dunbar story, constructive application of the readings, that those readings became a warning and he resisted anything that was destructive. Remember, Edgar Cayce has a recollection of being a priest in Atlantis among those that exodused out of Atlantis to Egypt. Contrast this story of a constructive application with that of another young man. At the time of his first reading, he was in college. The parallel between him and Robert was such they might have been friends in Atlantis. Here was another individual with great scientific ability. Electrical and mechanical work was again suggested, and again there were stern warnings that his ability should be directed in constructive channels. The extracts from this reading have been paraphrased. The reading opened by saying, many individuals of unusual abilities, both for good and bad, were being incarnated in the earth at this time, 1910 to 1911. Mental ability particularly was listed as a characteristic of this person, and the reading suggested research as an appropriate career. He was warned about his Atlantean incarnation, where he had used his scientific ability for selfish purposes, impelling people to submit to another's will. This young man, for this book, we'll call him Tom. The records are annotated. Ignored the need for constructive use of his talent. He was quickly successful in the electronics field. The work seemed to come to him naturally. He became the director of a large electronics concern that made rangefinders for battleships. He was a pioneer in the development of a number of electronic devices involved in explosives and destructive equipment. During the war, Tom made a great deal of money, but it brought him restlessness and confusion rather than peace and happiness. His problems cost him his fortune and his marriage. He had what amounted to a nervous breakdown. I'm going to ask you a $164 question. Those demons came down, those fallen angels, mated with the women on this earth and produced hybrids. The Bible says. Now, we know the fallen angels were destined to be forever lost, and the book of Hebrews says God did not bend down to help them like He did mankind. Right? But were those offspring destined not to have God's help? Innocent product? Was the man side of them a potential recipient of grace? Are any of those wandering spirits at all touched or capable of being reached by God? We deal in profound mystery here.
This is the end of side 3.